Blog Talk Radio.
So they resist all efforts at
egalitarian reform or equality. And therein lies the problem, because they have been staunch supporters of Trump. I was just on social media in preparation for this show earlier, and I exchanged emails with some person that was responding to an article in the Baltimore Sun. Now, you got to understand that these people down here, man, in that area, are really arch conservatives. I tell you, I kid you not. You know, especially in Baltimore, because they see the dark underbelly of poverty and how it plays out, especially in the African American community. Baltimore is like 60-70% black. You have pockets of affluence, you know, Fells Point and Canton over in that area, and some other parts of Baltimore, you know, they're interspersed, but, you know, far and few in between. So at any rate, this gentleman was trying to argue that under Trump's watch, the economy is booming. And what the economic indicators, as far as I know, I'm not an MBA, certainly don't, you know, espouse any expertise, in except, you know, being a business person, you know, for a number of years. But the fact of the matter is that when they talk about a booming economy, they're looking at corporate profits. They're not looking at individual success. And that's what I was trying to tell the gentleman, that, yeah, the economy may be booming for businesses, but businesses or business success doesn't equate to individual success. So, you know, you still have stagnant wages. You know, Pew came out with a report last year that dealt with stagnant wages. This is what I was trying to explain to him. I was saying, yeah, you know, it sounds good, you know, for, you know, Trump to go on air, you know, touting a booming economy, you know, because he was trying to argue that blue-collar wages are up. And I said, no, that's absolutely untrue. Blue-collar wages are not up. And I give you one example. You know, I hold a CDL, among many things. So that's my trade. You know, beyond the professional degree and the two undergraduate and one graduate degree, I always had a trade. Not because anybody told me to have a trade in college degrees. It's just something that happened. And you know, as with most things in my life, it was a blessing, because I was often able to fall back into a relatively high paying, or at least, you know, a job or a situation that enabled me to maintain my lifestyle while I was waiting the next call if I were out of business. But oftentimes, I had businesses that directly related to transportation. So at any rate, if truck drivers, according to the BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, if their wages kept up with the cost of living, truck drivers now would be making roughly $130,000, $140,000 per annum. That's a fact. I'm not throwing out statistics that I don't know. I'm telling you something that I have, researched. The average truck driver, however, let's say New York City, makes between $20 and $25 per hour. You do the math on that. That is nowhere close to $130,000 or $140,000 per annum. And that's what Pew is talking about when they talk about stagnant wages, or wages of blue-collar workers not keeping up. And you know, this is the problem when, you know, you hear Trump and his allies, especially the senators, get up and talk about a white-hot they might be personally doing well, but we aren't. You know, I'm not a worker, but I'm saying that the persons that do work for a living aren't doing well. That's a fact, because most of the jobs that have been created are service industry jobs, you know, fast food and retail and other service-related industries, and those jobs do not pay the bills. That's a fact. You would have to string together, like, you know, a former friend of mine used to say, Tony White, you'd have to string together tons of those jobs just to make ends meet. So that means you would literally be working around the clock in order to make ends meet. That's a fact. So it's important to understand that, yes, there are more jobs. The jobs do not, they're not the jobs that, like, you know, my parents, I'm middle-aged, so my parents are retired. But those aren't the jobs that my parents would have had, were a single person in the house, whether it's the mother or the father. And in my case, only the father worked. Was able to make ends meet. And then, you know, I don't remember my father having a number of jobs. I remember him working in a plastic factory for a short period of time. And then getting a job as a custodian with a school district in Nassau County, and worked there until his retirement in the late 70s, early 80s. You know, over 20 years, I believe he was employed for very little money there, even though Nassau County generally in that particular school district, or that school district particularly, was fairly affluent. He didn't benefit from that simply by virtue of the fact that he was a blue-collar laborer in that environment. And so, you know, the teachers making six-figure salaries did not trickle down to those on the lower end of the rungs. And I say this to say that, you know, people are deluding themselves by adopting these Fox News talking points, you know, in talking about this economy. Personally, I'm doing fairly well. I could be doing better, and hopefully I will be at some point in the very near future. But most persons... most of my friends are moving steadily into retirement. We're all in the same, you know, age range within 5 or 6 years of each other, some older, and obviously some younger, but the median age is nearing retirement. You know, some retired, you know, early. They put in their 25 and decided to take the money and run. And while others are either still working or doing other things. So the point I'm trying to make, however, is that, most of the persons that I know that are still working are doing, you know, they're in, you know, civil service and that sort of thing. You know, I don't know a lot of people any longer that work in corporate America per se. I know a lot of professionals that, you know, lawyers and doctors and that sort of thing, that do extraordinarily well simply because they're in a lucrative niche. You know, law is a lucrative niche, medicine is a lucrative niche, so you can expect, you know, if you hustle and work hard, you can expect to earn, you know, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 per annum easily. That's, you know, I know, you know, women that do it very, very easily in those niche markets. Whereas others that aren't in niche markets like that are struggling. I don't know anybody that does retail. I'm just thinking, you know, or fast fast food, definitely, that I know personally. I just, you know, I cringe at the thought. I can't imagine someone middle-aged doing fast food, man. It just, that's, you know, that isn't even bare necessity or bare, what would you call it? You wouldn't even make enough to get to work. I don't even know why anyone would work those jobs seriously. I mean, it's just not sustainable. And fortunately, and you have to excuse me because of this persistent issue that I have to have addressed at some juncture, and it's going to be this week, hopefully. But finally, McDonald's dropped its opposition to the $15 minimum wage, which is, I guess it's great. I don't know. I still don't think that's enough. Well, as a matter of fact, we know it's not enough. But at least it's something. So, again, if you're looking at the model where you're stringing together, you know, a couple of, you know, low-paying gigs into, you know, something that enables you to live in a very expensive city like New York. New York's is extraordinarily expensive. I mean, the studio apartment in New York City, downtown Brooklyn, is $1,800 a month. That's a fact. You know, so that means $1,800 plus utilities, electric, gas, you know, if you have it, sometime electric, sometime, you know, the landlord, if he's a kind soul, will incorporate those costs into that $1,800. Most of the time, they will not. And then you add on internet, you know, accessibility or connectivity. So you're talking another $60, $70 per month. So you're at $2,000 a month just for basic need at that point. Just for basic need. And so a McDonald's job for $15 an hour, stand by. Let's just take a break. We'll come back and finish this on the other side of the break because I want to do a little math here.
Looking for a hit multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, bumpy. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back here at Marketing Pulpit and now some New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipton. It's 10:47 on a Monday, a soggy Monday, May 13, 2019. And we were talking about McDonald's dropping its opposition to $15 per hour minimum wage. So say they did that in New York City, where, and we were just going over some of the expenses associated with having a, you know, a one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn. An example, you know. All right. So that's $2,000 a month off the top. So $15 an hour before taxes, $600 a week. All right, you do that monthly. So that's $2,400. This is before taxes, man. You're already behind it because, you know, they're gonna take $100 and some odd per week out of that $600. So you're down to $500. You know, let's just be, you know, not even conservative. Let's just be generous and say they only take $100, which we know is not going to be $100. It's going to be much more than that. All right, so you're already down to $500. after taxes and FICA and all this good stuff. All right? So you're talking $2,000 a month, and you're only earning $2,000 a month from the McDonald's job. So that means you have to have another job, a hustle, to make ends meet. That's a fact. I remember many, many years ago, I used to do it. I had two part-time jobs. I honestly did. Never forget, I was living in Trenton, New Jersey. A very comfortable situation. It wasn't exactly a room. It wasn't exactly an apartment. It was something in between. But I used to share an entire house with a correction officer. He was a sergeant at one of the prisons. I think it was Trenton State Prison. I'm not really sure. Bay. I'm sure he's long retired now. So how the landlord had it structured is he had most of the house boarded off. In other words, you couldn't get to the sections of the house. And he had two rooms in there, one on the ground floor and one on the upper floor, that me and Bay rented. So we rented the entire house, but we only had access to, like, certain parts of it. In my case, I had access to the upper room, which he subsequently boarded up. But, you know, when I was there, I had access to the full upper floor, and I utilized it fully. Why wouldn't I? So it was just a very comfortable situation. So I had a little grant-funded job at the high school where I was making, chump change. I was part-time, so I'd come in 2-3 hours a day, and that would, you know, give my little check. On the weekend, I used to bounce the clubs, you know, here at home. So, you know, I was martial artist, so, and I was still young and strong, so I didn't mind doing it. And I had money to, I don't want to say money to burn, but I had, you know, I was doing all right, man. I mean, you know, I wasn't struggling. I didn't have the money I had now, but I'm a middle-aged man, you know. So I'm just saying that here now, in New York, for a young person that's unmarried, I don't know that you could do it. I just believe that it's extraordinarily difficult to make ends meet if you aren't, you know, solidly professional, pulling down, you know, at least a minimum. New York, I think at one point I was looking at it. It wasn't through Pew. It was another study. Might have been. I don't want to. Don't give me the line. I don't want to, you know, start guessing. But it was another really good piece of research that suggested here in New York you need a minimum salary of $80,000 just to get by. And I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And even then, with that $80,000 a year salary, you're still, trust me, you're just making it. You're barely making it. So this is why I'm astounded. I don't know how people do it, man. I don't. I honestly do not, that are making, you know, these are solid middle class folk. I mean, they get up, they go to work every day, they work hard, you know, at their jobs, and they're earning $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. And I don't get it, man. I don't know how you make it on that kind of money. You know, like firefighters, an example, or New York City workers, you know, I think they top out at like 70 before overtime. All of them. They have basically the same contract: sanitation, corrections, police, fire. So their base salary is like $70,000 after 3 years or something like that. What firefighters, the beauty of them is they're on for like, you know, whatever, 48, 72, and then they're off. So they can have another career. They can go to school, or, you know, a lot of them, you know, go to law school or become doctors or teachers or some other type of professional. So they have that other kind of, or they, you know, they own bars or restaurants or whatever. So they have that that supplementary income. But if you're a cop, you don't have that, or a sanitation worker. It is what it is. I mean, you know, without MTA bus driver, you know, so New York City Transit. In other words, you don't have the same type of flexibility that firefighters have, whereas you're able to supplement your income. And that's why a lot of them, there is no residency requirement for these people in New York City, even New York State workers, because I was a state worker. You can live anywhere and work in New York State. If you're a state worker, but city workers and state workers, even that, I forgot to mention that, if you're a state worker, which is extremely low paying, compared to the, a public sector worker compared to the private sector, the state does grant you a small differential. It's called the downstate differential or New York City differential, which is modest, man. It's like if it's $100 a month, it's a lot. It really is. So it's not. It's extraordinarily modest. And the only benefits are, the benefits basically, because the salary is not it. At any rate, I got out of that situation quick, fast, and hurry, especially when the bosses start putting pressure on me. Because it was like slave labor. It was really outrageous. It was really low paying and a drudge. And the job hadn't become fun because, at that point when you're downstate, you're working with us. And, we tend to, just like a lot of other issues, we tend to become, overly officious. I'll leave it like that or at that. So that's where we are. And I just, it just dawned on me. I was just thinking about this whole situation where, back to, what the show was about. We were talking about this gentleman who was telling me that the economy was booming in X, Y, and Z, and certain sectors are certainly, If you want to move to Texas, you will not be out of work. But, what if your family is here and your friends are here? Who would want to move that business 1,800 miles, away from your friends and family? That doesn't make sense. Because then, okay, you're making money, but you're unhappy. So I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works. But I do believe in mobility, and I believe that if you're going to be upwardly mobile, you have to be flexible in that regard. So, at any rate, I'm going to talk more about this in the coming weeks, certainly as I make my transition. I'm still transitioning. Matter of fact, I'm going to work on this a little this morning. I have more information for you next week, so stay tuned right here to Marketing Pulpit International, New York District, with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. Have a great week.
Things don't happen by chance.